And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live from our radio television studios. That's right here in Northwest Pennsylvania. Now, we are not the recipients of $650,000 of George Soros' money, Open Society Institute. We're not the recipients of $650,000. That's Black Lives Matter, actually. Huh. Go figure. Black Lives Matter, $650,000 compliments of Soros. Hagman and Hagman.com, HagmanReport.com, our websites. Turkey flipping sides, cuddling up to Russia. About 50 or so hydrogen bombs in Russia, at the Incirlik base there in Turkey. Yeah, I understand that they're dated. They're disassembled, basically. You have to, assembly required. But, you know, they've got about 1,500 airmen there guarding that, or at that base, and about, 12 dozen Marines. Got tensions, with China. Tensions with Russia. You got a new Silk Road forming with Russia, China, Iran. Turkey hopping on board that gravy train. You got the energy realignment. You got petrodollar taking leave or about to be destroyed by the globalists. You got NATO on the way out. Power move by the globalists. And then, of course, domestic disturbances here in the United States with Trump being in Wisconsin, just not too far from Milwaukee, where the, I believe tonight, where the trouble was. You got the planned social unrest and all of this. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, this broadcast on the Hagman and Hagman Report. And yeah, that's right. That was on Joe. How you doing? Bring you right on right now, Joe.
Stan's also going to be with us tonight in hour number 3, as he comes on each and every Tuesday.
Yep.
And before that, the first 2 hours, as you said, we got a number of things to cover, from the domestic unrest to international military news, as China is teaming up with Russia and Syria and Iran to provide enhanced military training in Syria, as Iran is putting troops in Iraq.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on internationally, and you mentioned
the Ukraine, you know, the
economic news.
The Ukraine is, it's all about the oil pipeline there, the Crimea. Crimea, the importance there, they've got the warm water port, the only warm water port for Russia's nuke fleet. And of course, if Crimea is threatened, Russia is directly threatened. Ukraine, as I said, it's all about the oil pipeline. The invasion of Crimea, it's not really. It's Turkey and Ukraine, the push for Crimea. The invasion is not by Russia, but the protection by Russia. But it's three-dimensional chess, folks, when you're looking at geopolitics here. So I mentioned I was on with Alex Jones today for 2 hours, I think. Something like that. From 1 to a little after 3, I guess 3:10 or something like that. It was a fun time. We had a good time. Did you catch it? Did y'all catch it? No? Yeah? Good. Our studio audience, vast studio audience, is split. We've got about 400 onlookers here in the Hagman studio. No. Actually, my daughter just came to the studio unscheduled. I didn't expect to see her. It's good to see you. And she counts for 400, basically. Right? Yeah. Anyway, so, yes, a lot to talk about tonight in this broadcast. And don't forget, the leaks, the WikiLeaks, oh, my goodness, do we have fun there? Are we going to have fun with this? a couple of things with this. And as I mentioned on InfoWars, Hillary Clinton is in a duck or bleed kind of scenario. The Clinton Foundation right now is the subject of three investigations. That's right, three investigations and by three U.S. attorneys. Assange has all of her and Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin's emails. Oh, boy. Yeah.
I'm not sure that all of them, but many of them.
36,000, 36,000.
And I say that because there's another date planned for another release.
Well, right. The release is different than the... yeah, I get that. I understand that. But they're not releasing all of them at once. And I think there's a good reason for that, which I don't really want to get into, but I think that it's a planned release. But I do think they have captured all of them, and certainly Russia, China, Saudis, Israel, they've all got those emails. It's really interesting because the criminality that exists with the Clinton Foundation, you've got Huma Abedin overlapping her time at the State Department, where she was receiving $135,000 a year. Now, look, folks, that's not enough, all right? $135,000, it ain't enough for Huma and Carlos Danger, her husband. Congressman Carlos Danger, also known as the Stick. Well, that's what I call him. She worked at Tenio, which is in the Clinton Foundation as well. See, the Tenio, that she was getting $335,000 a year. Nice gigs if you can get them, right? Considering that, what, 78 or 87%, 80, I think it's 87% of the new jobs created by the pretender in chief, the renegade in chief, Barry Sotoro. I think 87% or 78%, please. I don't know. It was one of those numbers. It was a really high number. We're all part-time jobs. I'm sure not paying anywhere near $335,000 that Huma Abedin, the beaten wife of Carlos Danger. When I say beaten, I mean, you know, beaten down metaphorically, not physically. Believe me. You gotta watch everything you say. You have to be careful with everything you say when you describe people because, you know, you just don't know if, somebody pressing the keyboard, the keys on the keyboard, yeah, that's right, Eric. We'll type something out and say, you know, I think we gotta sue him for this. That's right. So you got the Clinton Foundation, Foreign Policies Director. Look, it's all about capital or globalist control. It's all about the Clinton crony capitalist, the crony capitalism of the Clinton criminal cabal. That's a mouthful of C's, right? Now, there's acrimony within the FBI. As we speak, I was talking with some people over this weekend and with some sources. The acrimony within the FBI that, Comey came out, of course, you remember when he came out and said, well, there's no reasonable prosecutor would go after Hillary for the for his investigation, the findings of his investigation. Well, there's acrimony within the FBI over the recent thrashing of the FBI by Bill Clinton. Agents are upset, field agents are extremely upset about the muzzling of their investigation and findings. So you've got that, and now we've got the waning, shall I say, waning trouble in social unrest in Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, or northern Milwaukee, that is. That is a direct result of the Soros and globalist initiatives, in part, of course, in the globalist initiatives or objectives of Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton. The yak. Do we have the yak ready to rock or not? Okay. Tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to debut the Trek of the Yak. You don't know what I'm talking about. The Trek of the Yak across the screen. You can mic up. You can mic up. You can mic up, young lady. All right. So anyway, all of this. So we're seeing war clouds forming on the Joe. I mean, we're seeing war clouds forming on the horizon. When I say war clouds, at the epicenter of this is the petrodollar. It's all about the money. Follow the money. Any war that you've seen it's all about the money. You're seeing the takedown of the petrodollar. You're seeing a power shift in the Middle East, where between Turkey, Syria, Iran. You're seeing Erdogan. You saw him apologize to Putin for shooting down the. You know, hey, I'm sorry for shooting down your aircraft, and you know.
Well, there's a military first for Iran as Russian bombers, based on its territory, launch airstrikes on Syria from Iran, and they say this is the first time since the 1979 revolution that a foreign power is conducting military operations from Iranian territory. And this is Russian bombers flying missions over Syria using long-range missiles.
Right. Yep.
To track targets in near Aleppo and other western Syrian cities. This according to the Russian Ministry of Defense in a statement from earlier today. And this is a new alliance. There is cooperation between Tehran and Moscow and Syria and now China, as China's stepping in with humanitarian aid as well for Syria.
Both militaries, the United States and China. Look, we're planning for military conflict. Russia's planning for military conflict. China's planning for military conflict. Everyone in the world knows that war looms. Everyone except the people of the United States who are just blissfully unaware, for the most part, that war is looming. Do you know war is looming? No? Oh, okay. Yeah. What's going on with Turkey is very interesting. I think it's just tremendously interesting. Again, just referencing a conversation with Alex today, Alex Jones on InfoWars, just briefly, Joe, we talked a little bit about this. I think we have to stop looking at all of these situations, whether they're in the United States or whether they're in Turkey or wherever they're taking place, but they can't be looked at as individual disparate incidents. You got to look at them as a part of a whole, part of a larger plan. And I think the unrest in Milwaukee is connected to the geopolitics of Iran and Syria. And why do I say that? Because you've got the same people, the same people who are funding Black Lives Matter to the tune of $650,000. How, you know, what are we on the wrong side of this fight? Monetarily? Imagine what the new media could do with $650,000. We would not be buying Slurpees and throwing them at the police horses. Yeah. All right. I'm not in a good mood right now.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he made comments accusing Hillary Clinton, of making the Milwaukee situation worse. As we see the unrest continue to, I don't want to say increase, but the violence has increased since the shooting of a 23-year-old armed suspect during the
traffic. Wait, he was a good kid. Now stop it. He was a good kid.
I didn't say he wasn't. I said he was armed.
He was just a joy to be around. He was respectful. Don't worry,
I didn't
about
know
the
you
Tech
knew.
Nine. Well, no, that's what all the people, he was respected in the community. That's what So some of the people in the Newham said. So.
Yeah, and the what's come out pertaining to George Soros and the Open Society is not just funding of Black Lives Matter. It's also creating a new normal, he says, with the refugee crisis, meaning new opportunities for Soros organizations to influence immigration policies on a global scale. And there has been the release of memos and emails, one from the 12th of May titled Migration Governance and Enforcement Portfolio Review. And it calls on a program which aims to influence immigration policy, not only in Europe, but here in the U.S., saying Europe's refugee crisis presents new opportunities for the organization to influence global immigration policy, and the refugee crisis is the new normal. And many are claiming that the Open Society Foundation has been successful in influencing global immigration policy.
Yeah.
Not just in the United States, but globally.
Well, this is all a part of a bigger picture, and tonight we're going to be talking, or this broadcast, we're going to be talking about how, what's going to happen here? Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch, the Yak Clinton, where she fit into all of this? Because now, when I was saying that she cannot be in motorcades because of the, in other words, well, they can't have motorcycle police officers and I don't have the same sources he's got. I'm just saying what he said. When you're in a motorcade, you are subjected to the flashing red and blue lights of the emergency vehicles, the escort vehicles. Well, he said that they're not doing that because of the lights. I'm not sure if he said the lights, but to me it was suggested the lights as well as the ride itself. And I would suspect it would have to be the lights are causing her trouble. Now, folks, I don't know if that's true or not. This is what his sources are saying to him. But is something going to happen with her?
That lines up with things we've seen from the...
Ah, the balloons.
The balloon drop at the Democratic National Convention eyes popped out of her head. And even to a video clip I saw today from a few days ago when Joe Biden and Hillary were in Scranton visiting Joe Biden's childhood home, where a reporter snapped a photograph, and you can see her kind of be taken aback by the flash of the photograph. And yesterday there was an article on Drudge from the Gateway Pundit claiming that Hillary is exhausted, taking weekends off.
I am too.
And getting a
media
cover-up. I think we do have weekends off.
No, you do. I don't.
But by reviewing the activities of the presidential candidates, Trump and Clinton, a new phenomenon has appeared, according to the Gateway Pundit. While Trump continues to smash Clinton in attendance events, Hillary appears to have decided to take weekends off, and they go through the schedule and it shows just from the month of August.
Yeah,
Clinton has taken the weekend, the 6th and the 7th off, 3 days off this past weekend, the 12th through the 14th.
When's the last time she had a press conference? 270 days roughly.
Yep. And so, in total, Clinton has taken 7 days off in August out of the first 14 days and is scheduled to continue with this approach through at least this coming Saturday. Now, on the opposite side, Trump has only taken 2 days off, August 7th, a Sunday, and August 14th, a Sunday, and he's going to multiple cities each day giving campaign speeches in more than one city. And if you look at the attendance record, this is something else that has come out from the Gateway Pundit. It shows that the number of Trump supporters at Trump events show more than, since August 1st, more than 100,000 people have shown up for Trump events since the beginning of August. On the other hand, Hillary not even getting 1/10 or even 10,000 to show up at her event since the 1st
of
August.
Of course,
but Hillary already won the presidential election, according to NBC's Electoral College.
It's not even Labor Day, and the race has already been called in favor of Hillary, so let's just pack up and go. Roger Stone was right on this. he appeared yesterday, I think it was, on InfoWars with Gary Haven and Alex, or the, I don't know when it was, but and Gary Haven's been on our program talking about, well, talking about this movie, Armageddon, but talking about other things as well. We got to have him back, Gary Haven. But yeah, I mean, it's called. It's already called for Hillary, and
they say even if Trump wins the states that are up for grabs, he still can't beat Hillary Clinton in the electoral votes. This is from NBC polls.
So everyone can go, just go home.
Yeah.
It's over. I mean, you know. But no, see, I don't believe that. And I believe that we're in for an October surprise. I really think that there's an October surprise coming, and I think it involves the Clintons and obviously the Obamas. And, you know, George Soros has got his arm so far up the roto-rooted backside of Obama and Clinton. You were worried about what I was going to say there, weren't you? That, you know, you can't even see his mouth move, where Soros, you know, his hands move his mouth. But you've got, and it's not just Soros, it's everyone connected with him. And people say, well, you know, I'm so tired of hearing about George Soros. You got to understand who he is. Well, I mean, this guy's the worst of the worst, in my view, in my opinion. That, okay, attorneys ruling. Good, thank you. It's just incredible that these people are, and things have changed a lot in the last, folks. Stop that. Yeah. Okay. No hugs in this studio here. Anyway, folks, see, it made me lose my place.
You were talking about Soros.
Well, you know, okay, so who's behind Soros and who's around Soros? And the people who are behind Soros and around Soros are obviously the families, the nameless families who've got all of the money, all of the power. Money obviously buys power. It's not just George Soros. It's not just George Soros' son, who, by the way, met with Tim Kaine. Did I say that right?
Say it again.
George Soros, the son, met with
yesterday. Tim Kaine, or a very close family member or friend of Tim Kaine.
No, it wasn't Tim Kaine.
Yeah.
I see what they made me do. No. When people say that, I laugh. See what they made me do. When you're giving power over other people to make you do things, right? Anyway, so all of this together, but it's more than that. We are really right now, and again, off air, I was talking a little bit today during my interview, that we are seeing the last gasp, I think, of the new world order. They're playing off. This is for all the marbles. The main obstacle to a stable and just world, or just world order, is the United States. That, according to George Soros, the left-wing globalists are uniting with the right-wing neocons. When I say neocons, I'm referring to the war mongers, and they've established this club of the elite, answerable only to the Committee of 300, and places like the Trilateral Commission, and entities like the Trilateral Commission, the CFR, and such. But and don't forget, Soros said his happiest days were spent with his father, basically routing out other Jews to the Nazis. And remember, you've made that statement many times.
And another piece of information we can talk about with Soros is in other hacked emails show or reveal plans to fight Israel's racist policies, in his own words. That is from the Jerusalem Post yesterday. As the emails that were hacked by, or the emails that were hacked and attributed to Soros are still continued to be, people are going through them and releasing the information as they find it. So I think we're far from over from seeing what he has had to say and what his, the extent of his influence has been. I mean, you talk about never let a good crisis go to waste. The playbook and that mentality, I mean, this guy's all over it with every, seemingly every issue that matters in the news cycle, from the immigration crisis to Israel to Black Lives Matter. Right. He's throwing cash left and right, and he is swaying foreign policy and those who are elected officials to his way of thinking and his policies and what he wants to see carried out and the agenda that they have put in place. They want to see that continue, and they're working hard to make sure it does.
Before we go to the break, I want to acknowledge an email by Tanya. Thank you, Tanya, who said that from someone who should know Dr. Michael Lake's wife, Mary Lou, and we have to have Mary Lou on the program as well. She's an SRA DID survivor. She believes that Hillary Clinton's programming is breaking down. Think of the Twilight Zone episode. Several Twilight Zone episodes could apply here. The accounts, this or that accounts for her health problems and symptoms. Very interesting. That from Tanya. Thank you so much, Tanya. Appreciate that. You're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on this very intense broadcast. Friday, Jim Mars. Got a great lineup next week as well. Stay right where you're at and right back. Listening to the Hagmann Report, Doug Hagmann, Joe Hagmann, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. Portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by American Survival Wholesale. It's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. You can go there for all of your survival needs. Survival, long-term storable food. There it is. There it is. Thrive Brand. Long-term survival food. If you don't have it now, you better get it. That's all I'm going to say, you know. If you don't have it now, if you're listening to this broadcast and you're thinking, well, I don't need survival food. No. Okay. Good luck with that. Or even better yet, I'll take it from my neighbor. Good luck with that, too. I got some words for you. If that's you, if you're in that camp, I've got some very strong words for you. Anyway. But, you know, it's the Washington Times reported yesterday, or today, this morning, I believe, that our troops had let ISIS fighters flee northern Syria. Many ISIS fighters flee northern Syria. Why? Because, well, the rules of engagement with Obama. Yeah, we're not gonna kill them because we don't want to hurt any innocents.
Except okay. With their drone policy.
Where
more civilians are being killed in Syria than fighters. From what's being reported from several international news outlets.
Yeah. You know,
prompting China to launch the humanitarian aid. That's their stated reason. One of their stated reasons.
Well.
Along with Russia.
You've got Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch, the Act Clinton, funneling money or in her position with the State Department, creating, facilitating, funding, arming, training ISIS at the behest of Barry Sotoro, Barack Hussein Obama, and of course Hillary's body double, Carlos Danger's squeeze, Huma Abedin. Have you noticed, by the way, that all of the top officials in our government are Muslim? Does that bother anyone, or are we okay with that? You know, I will contend that America does not have a problem with intolerance. We're the most tolerant, it does not have a problem with intolerance. We're the most tolerant nation to a fault. we have a problem with tolerance. We tolerate seditious activity. We tolerate lawlessness. We tolerate all of this in the name of, well, we'll just, in the name of, let's just get along with everyone else. And I think, to me, it's shameful. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to us as a body of Christians. It's an embarrassment to us as a conservative, social conservatives. It's an embarrassment to us in every moral and spiritual way. But again, you're looking at ISIS also establishing, and this has come out, we've reported on this before, and I briefly mentioned this during my interview this afternoon, Joe, the ISIS camp across the border of Mexico. Look, 10 years ago, we talked about Islamic terrorism, terrorists coming across the border, being funneled across the border of Mexico by MS-13 and by other various subgroups of the Mexican drug cartels. And we reported on this. They were finding patches down there. They were finding military
camps and
yeah, everything. And they were finding Qurans down there. And people would say, oh, you're just, in fact, people on our side, on the conservative side said, you're just making that up. You really don't have any sources down at the southern border saying that you found, or that not us, but evidence of Islamic, other than Mexican and Islamic terrorists were coming across the border. You don't have any of that. Some of the very same conservative, entities right now who are joining our cause and jumping on our bandwagon had said, no, you're lying. You don't have, you can't prove any of that. Okay. We told you this was going on 10 years ago. And now it makes big news. Oh, my goodness, there's an ISIS camp across the border from Texas down there in Mexico. Really? Welcome to the party. That's been going on for a long time. ISIS has really, since it's before it evolved into ISIS, and while the ideology was still adherent to the Al-Qaeda, the ideological mindset, allowing many to come across the border in streams, and not settling in southern towns only, but coming up into the north, Twin Cities, of course, you've got into Wisconsin, into Pennsylvania, New York, Ohio, throughout the Midwest, into the Pacific Northwest. But no. Certain conservatives, so-called investigative journalists said, oh, you can't prove that, so you can't really say that. Okay. We have people willing to risk their careers, well, to the extent of being anonymous sources, saying, this is what was found down there. We were in this position to find it. Meaning the evidence of incursion into the United States by terrorists, and of course, no one believed us. We were making it up. We were listening to the voices in our head. And you know, Joe, this is not fear talk. I mean, it really chaps my lips when people talk about this being fear porn and you know, fear talk. There's nothing fearful about it. It's realism. If you want to learn how nice everything is and, you know, how well the daisies are blooming, go watch PBS or something. Seriously, turn us off. Go watch PBS. They'll be a lot happier. Anyway,
going back to
developing an attitude here.
Going back to Milwaukee, I found this interesting and appropriate for the title of the show tonight, with the unrest and the media manipulation, which the media manipulation is continuing to be shown. Especially CNN and Fox, CNN selectively edit out the sister of what's his name? Slyville? His sister, the guy who was shot in Milwaukee, they selectively edit out threats to burn down the suburbs. On Saturday, Slyville Smith's sister urged Milwaukee rioters to burn down the suburbs. Now, what was being reported on CNN is that she urge people that she called for peace. CNN described the sister of Smith as calling for peace. They conveniently left out the rest of her message, calling for protesters to burn down the suburbs.
Yeah, don't touch the weeds.
Don't bring that violence here.
Don't touch the weeds. We need the weeds. Go take it to the suburbs.
Yeah, on CNN, under the subhead, residents try to heal, the article read, Smith's sister condoned the violence, saying that the community needs the businesses affected. Don't bring that violence here, other sister said while sobbing.
Take it to the
suburbs. But what they left out was take it to the suburbs, burn
the suburbs. And that's exactly what they want to do. See, we don't, look, isn't, again, the $650,000 from Soros, the Open Society Institute, when are these people going to understand that they are being played? This is all a big game. And I don't want to go on a rant. I'm going to stop right now because Eric will yell at me and make me cry. So, they're pawns, and God bless you. They're pawns in this globalist game of, I'm popping my peas, and yeah, they're pawns in this globalist game. So yeah, but these are their marching orders. Go out, take it to the suburbs, burn down Whitey's store, burn down the Whitey's house, drag Whitey from the car. And if this is offensive to any of our black listeners, I don't believe it is. It's just what they're saying, but they're repeating what they're told to say. There was some idiot, young kid, being interviewed by the news, and I think they have since expunged this. Well, we're writing because they're not giving us none of their
the
money.
The rich people are not.
Yeah, they ain't sure. Okay. All right.
Well, you can see how poverty adds to the unrest in the situation in Milwaukee. People take advantage of, just in our recent past here, you can see how people take advantage of the situations of violence between cops to loot grocery stores and to go out and cause trouble as they think they won't get in trouble for doing so.
Well,
when chaos breaks out, it seems that people will take advantage of that in any way possible, including George Soros, two protesters and rioters on the ground in Milwaukee and in other cities that we've seen. And Trump will be in Milwaukee today, days after the city was hit by unrest over the fatal police shootings. Trump, who has been vocal in support of law enforcement during the spate of protest around the county, or around the country over high-profile shootings, told Fox News that he plans to address the unrest during a town hall meeting on Tuesday in the Wisconsin city. It's law and order. We have to obey the laws or we don't have a country, said Trump. We have a case where good people are out there trying to get people to calm down and they're not calming down, and we have our police who are doing a phenomenal job.
I would hate to be a cop, and I thank God that I didn't pass a physical eyesight test when I could have been a cop. This is when the rules were much more stringent. You had to be a certain height, certain weight, and your eyesight had to be uncorrected, a certain vision. And I tried to memorize the eye chart and I got found out. And, this is back in late 70s, early 80s. But I couldn't imagine being a police officer right now, getting paid as a social servant for so little and having to deal with so much. Now, that's not to say there are bad apples within the group. Of course there are. There's bad apples within any organization, except ours. We're the exception. The war has been declared on police officers. And this is not, this isn't just a war against the police. This is the manifestation, in my view, of the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals, how to just destroy everything, how to destroy society. And, folks, this leads me into one more thing, or one additional thing, and I think what we're seeing here, once Obama became president in 2008. Think back to 2008. And again, this is, to me, this is so important, because if we understand how this came about, Obama's ascendancy, his rise to power from 2004 when he spoke at the Democratic convention, and then suddenly as a junior senator he's ascended to the Oval Office. And at that time, or previous to that time, of course, we in the independent new media were saying he's not constitutionally qualified. We were raising questions about his allegiance. We were raising questions about his faith, his allegiance, or we were challenging his claims of being a Christian. We knew his policies, but we were going after him with a full scale, overt attack, shall we say. When I say attack, I'm talking about exposure. Back in 2008. And we were told by some very powerful conservatives to shut up and sit down. Don't distract from talking about the issues. You shut up and you sit down, and none of this birther talk, because you're making us look bad. Okay. By some of the very people you listen to today. Well, so that's how we got Obama in office, in part. And then, of course, Obama had to be installed in office for this very time in order to open the doors of refugees, Islamic refugees. And he had to be in office. And folks, listen to me very carefully, because I believe this. He had to be in office for this very specific time in history, because it was post-war Iraq, Afghanistan, or mid-war, depending on what you might call war, whether it's a maintenance factor or not. So he had to be in this position. It couldn't be Hillary at this time, only because Obama had that Islamic component built into his background. He understood this. So he brought in all these Muslims into the White House, into DHS, into all
of
these.
The CIA, yeah, number two, yeah, at DHS. Yes. And the list, I mean, it's a long list.
So now here we are in 2016, 8 years later. What are we facing? Are we facing anything new? No, we're facing a third term of Obama. We're facing 8 more years of Obama. Not 4, but 8 more years of Obama. Whether it's in the personage of Obama or not, it doesn't have to be. It can be the ideology that's behind him can be carried forth by whoever that person might be. And that person right now, at this moment, appears to be Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch, the Yak Clinton. That's right. Because she was his puppet stooge in the state in Foggy Bottom during the Arab Spring takedown of Libya as well, and the funneling of ISIS, the attempt to take down Syria. That's how this all fits together. So we are fighting today, this election, whether you want to believe it or not, and those people who run away from talking about whether it's going to be Trump or Clinton at this point, and again, at this point, it's Trump or Clinton. Those are our choices. Now, you might say, well, we've got Jill Stein and Gary Johnson. Okay, do you really, if you know the rules, is that really your position? So you're going to have to pick one of the two. So you're going to pick Clinton or you're going to pick Trump? And I'm not so sure that Clinton and Trump are going to be. Okay, mark this down right now, this time and date. Mark this time and date down. I'm not so sure the individuals that we see on the Democratic and Republican national tickets are going to be the same that we're going to see in November. That's right. I'm also wondering if we're going to see a crisis of some kind that, as weird as this might sound, perhaps cause a problem with the elections. I don't know what that would be. But at any rate, the globalists are pushing forth to push the globalist Obama Muslim, pro-Muslim objectives globally. Restore the New World Order. Through the old world, restore the old world order through a new world order, and that's what the plans are. We're seeing it take place here in this country through our elections. We're seeing it take place through our foreign policy. We're seeing it take place through our, we're seeing it take place over in Europe as well through the fight against Brexit, through the Muslim invasion of Europe, the takedown of Europe. You know, that's another thing too. We talk about the Muslim invasion, the alien invasion. There's, America took in more Muslims, more Syrian Muslims than Europe did. 8,000 to 6,000 roughly. But we know it's exponentially more than, many times more than that. But we, what we see happening on a global basis, the microcosm here is in the United States, Joe. It really is, so. But you know, one thing, and our good friend Larry brought this up. Thank you for this. Quail Trail. Do we have a Quail Trail promo or a segue? All right, that's all right. One of these days, don't worry about it. One of these days we're going to have a Quail Trail. We have it made up. We just don't have it in the input here. Well, one thing that Steve Quayle's reporting on, and don't forget, folks, he's going to be at Jim Baker's the revival, 19th, 20th, 21st of August 2016. That's going to be Steve Quayle, Gary Haven, Pastor Langford, and Russ Dizdar. But don't forget the flooding of the people in the South, Louisiana. Why aren't people talking about this?
What, the flooding?
Yeah, I mean,
it's historic flooding.
Yeah, why isn't there coverage of this historic flooding and the thousands upon thousands of people who are homeless, displaced by the flooding?
8 dead, 30,000 rescued amid 1,000-year rain, they're saying, as portions of southwest Louisiana continue to deal with the fallout of 1,000-year rain that has claimed at least 8 lives. 12 parishes are now eligible for federal aid, as state police say about 30,000 people have been rescued from the floodwaters. Law enforcement and the National Guard have rescued 30,000 people amid flooding triggered by a record 2-day rainfall that ended early Saturday morning. The state police reported Tuesday the low-pressure weather pattern dropped as much as 2 feet of rain in areas from East Baton Rouge to Livingston.
You know, Louisiana's been just getting pounded.
Yeah, they on Tuesday, with high temperatures approaching 100 degrees today, and throughout this week, they're looking at rain anywhere from 15 to 50% scattered throughout the week.
Oh, hey, put up a... You know what? I just thought of something here. The studio got a call over the weekend. We are wanted by the IRS. There's going to be a warrant for our arrest. Did you know that?
No.
I got to get that piece of paper in the bat phone.
What did you
do? No, it's the IRS scam thing. And they left the phone number. Yeah. I have to, it's in my office. It's on a little orange piece of paper. Post it. Now, you know what? Maybe I don't have a bat phone.
I do.
Oh, you have the bat phone? All right. Hang on, folks. We're going to do this. One of these days, we're going to be effective in outing these scammers at the.
Well, you find that number.
You know what, Eric? It could be on the file cabinet too. I don't know. Go ahead.
Statistics: in the Livingston Parish of Louisiana, home of around 138,000 people, authorities said about 75% of the homes have been destroyed by flooding.
Uh-huh.
That's in one parish alone.
Yeah.
And the Department of Health in Louisiana has confirmed an increase in the death toll from rain. And ensuing flooding to 8, 4 of those deaths occurred in East Baton Rouge Parish. More than 8,000 people spent the night in a shelter, according to the governor. He said today, nobody is going to be forgotten, and we're going to be working around the clock and doing everything possible to render aid. Now, last week I had a number of articles about the storm system.
It was just sitting there, right?
Yeah. Well, it looked like they wouldn't even classify it as a tropical storm or tropical depression, which it obviously turned into one as it sat still over Louisiana. You could see the big rotation.
Right.
And I had to restart my computer before the show. I don't have my PowerPoint up. But, yeah, it was just sitting there there was a loop that was 48 hours.
Are we seeing weather modification? I suspect we are. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I because I moved it, I think, for the interview, and papers flying everywhere. But so I do believe we're seeing weather modification, but in this case, you'd have to. And for those who say, "Well, it is weather modification," so for those of you in this case, I would ask, what did the people of Louisiana do to the guys? You know, the people who are manipulating the weather, or is this just a merely unintended consequence of another part of weather modification? And you know, this is just an unintended consequence. But if they were manipulating the weather, couldn't they manipulate this system out of existence?
You would think.
So,
and there was some reports from Geoengineering Watch. I don't know if it pertained to Louisiana, but it talked about, you know, so many people will laugh and say anybody who believes in chemtrails is crazy or a conspiracy theorist. But all you have to do is search for the congressional hearings. You can look for the documents. Just search geoengineering or government geoengineering. They openly admit to programs that participate in cloud seeding.
Yes.
And
but again, they're not. Why Louisiana? Why the parishes affected? If they are not doing this, and if they have the ability to modify weather, why don't they fix this? That's my question. If all of this is true, and I believe it to be true, where they could modify weather, and they're not doing this, don't they have the ability to fix this? Just asking. Or do they have something against, you know, Baton Rouge? But look, either way, pray for the people in the South. There are tens of thousands of people who have lost their homes, the flooding has just been historic, as Joe, as you mentioned.
Yeah, they're calling it the 1,000-year rain.
We have a lot of listeners down there, a lot of listeners in Louisiana, in New Orleans and Baton Rouge and down around the Gulf Coast. Our hearts and prayers are with you, as a matter of fact. But we wanted to mention this and check with Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, his alerts. Watch those alerts. It's very important to do so, to keep up with the people who are suffering with the flooding down there in the Gulf Coast. Friends, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman, Joe Hagman. Something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. Joe was on with Dave Hodges on Sunday. Common Sense Show. You can download that off of Global Star Radio Network, commonsenseshow.com.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, you did a good job there. And I was on with Alex Jones today. We had a great time. And Alex is going to come on our program. He said, we're going to get him on our show. Even if I have to go down to Austin and twist his arm, but we're going to get him on. And, of course, I saw Gary Haven from yesterday, I think it was, and we're going to get him back on as well. And, because he's always a crowd pleaser. And, folks, don't forget now, Steve Quayle, Gary Haven,
Pastor Langford,
and Russ Dizdar at Jim Baker, The Revival. Go to HagmanHagman.com. Click on the Revival banner and get information, register. Have a great time there. Going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.